morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Coming up today, we'll look again at the unemployment crisis here in the state of Florida, and later on, we'll discuss the case of that whistleblower who says that the Florida Department of Health statistics on COVID-19 may be fudged. We'll talk about that later on in the program. First up, though, Governor DeSantis is trying to downplay the unemployment numbers that are being reported, saying it's up to reporters to vet anecdotal cases of people who are still waiting for unemployment benefits. His comments came yesterday in Orlando after reporters delivered 5,000 unanswered claims to the governor's office in Tallahassee. Governor DeSantis maintains there's usually a reason for delayed unemployment benefits, ranging from missing information to applicants being ineligible. Here's what he said yesterday.
If someone applies and doesn't support a Social Security number, guess what? You can't pay under those circumstances. But I think it's your responsibility, if you're representing that there's someone in March who hasn't been paid, to tell your viewers whether that someone is a valid applicant or not.
Governor DeSantis yesterday at a press conference in Orlando. We're joined now by Ryan Barrick, who is an employment attorney. He practices in Clearwater. And a year ago, when my job here was threatened at MNF, he was at my side. And Ryan, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Rob. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to talk to you about the mess that is the Florida unemployment system.
Okay, so tell us just generally, are you representing people who feel like they've been wrongly turned down by the unemployment system?
We are representing folks who have appeals pending in the system. The system is it was a bad system before, and it's really been kind of overwhelmed by the number of claims that have come through now as part of the pandemic.
It's a lot of people say it's been a bad system for a long time, dating back for two administrations in Tallahassee. What do you know about the history of this unemployment system in the state of Florida?
Sure. So in 2011, early in the Rick Scott administration, the Florida legislature enacted the new system. And it was really designed to make it more difficult for people to get benefits. That was the stated goal of the system. In fact, at the time, Senator Nancy Dietert of Venice said, "We'd like your department to get rid of slackers and malingerers." And that was really the framework within which the state approached unemployment. Rather than being a benefit for people who lost their job or something to help them get over the hump, it was seen as something the state didn't want to provide, and so they made it very difficult for people to get benefits. Even before the pandemic, more than half the people who applied for benefits were denied. So I think that's a really important fact for people to be mindful of, is when things were going well or when the system was working the way it was designed to work, half of the people who applied for benefits, who thought they were entitled to benefits, didn't actually get those benefits. And the benefit amount was also set so low that many people wouldn't even bother to apply, because regardless of what your earnings were, regardless of where you were, your maximum benefit amount was $275 per week.
Hmm. So what's your take on that 50% of the people who are turned down even before this crisis? Were they wrongly turned down in your mind? And if so, why?
Well, I think the system was set up so that people who believed they should get benefits were not going to be able to get those benefits. So yeah, where you have a government program where half of the people who believe they're entitled to benefits aren't actually going to get those benefits, there's a problem. And there were problems both with the creation of the statute and the way the standards that were applied, and then how those standards were being implemented. There were requirements in terms of job search and job hunt and other requirements and who it was eligible in the first instance that really made it a difficult process for people to get the benefits. And that was in part because they wanted to make the job numbers look better in Florida, right? This was early in the Rick Scott administration, and his campaign was focused on getting Florida back to work. That was really his focus of his political campaign. And so one of the ways that they did that was to artificially depress the unemployment numbers by having fewer people apply for unemployment. If fewer people apply for unemployment, if fewer people get the benefits, and if people are not keeping the benefits for a longer period of time, it makes the numbers look better than what they really were.
I want to ask you about the soundbite that I played at the top of the show, where and the governor made two points I want to ask you about. One is that if people have been turned down or are having trouble navigating the system, it's because they're filling out the unemployment application wrong. They're not putting in their Social Security number, for instance. What's your take on that?
I think there's two things there. One is the system is not well designed. It asks questions that don't make a lot of sense. It asks repetitive questions. And so it is sort of a trap for employees and for applicants because it is so poorly designed and really doesn't work well. So to suggest that the fact that people didn't answer a question properly or didn't answer a question properly or didn't put in the right information, really, you need to look, if you want to be fair about it, you need to look at, is the question well designed? Is the system a well-designed system that makes it easy for applicants to put in their information to process their claim? So that's sort of the threshold question. And then the other thing is that as it's being used in Florida, it really hasn't been, so it's not well-designed, and it's not easy for people to use. It was really overwhelmed, and so it's not a fair thing to suggest that this is the fault of the people. Rather, it's the fault of the system and the way it was designed. And some of that is something that certainly predates the DeSantis administration, but the DeSantis administration hasn't been as responsive as they could have been, as they should have been, with the problems. Now he's sort of suggesting that it's reporters' responsibility to help people. No, that's what the government is there in theory to do.
Well, let me play that soundbite again, because that was interesting when the governor said this yesterday. Here's Governor DeSantis in Orlando yesterday, and this is what he said when he was told that 5,000 unanswered unemployment claims were delivered to his office in Tallahassee, and this is what the governor said.
If someone applies and doesn't support a Social Security number, guess what? You can't pay under those circumstances. But I think it's your responsibility, if you're representing that there's someone in March who hasn't been paid, to tell your viewers whether that someone is a valid applicant or not.
So he wants reporters to check to see whether or not the unemployment applications are valid. Is that easy for reporters to do?
No. It's not even easy for the applicants to do. There's no real way for people to do that. Even I, and I'm a lawyer, and I have clients that are in the system, and there's supposed to be a feature that allows for third-party representatives like lawyers to monitor and file appeals and process the claims on behalf of their clients. And even I can't get the third-party representative feature to work. So to suggest somehow that reporters would be able to monitor or determine the claims is just silliness, really. The system isn't working well, and rather than attack the people who are bringing forth that message, the governor should be focused on, gee, we've got a list here of 5,000 people who are having problems with the system. What can we do to try and address those claims? What can we do to try and deal with those problems? And if, for example, the problem really is people not entering their Social Security numbers properly, which I don't think it is, but if that really were the problem, then there's probably an issue about how it is they're asking that question. If that many people are answering that question incorrectly, then you're not asking that question in the right way, because there shouldn't be that much volume that's causing a problem unless there's something wrong with how it is you're implementing the system. Even now, today, there are more than 370,000 people, 370,000 Floridians who have what the state calls unique claims, who have been deemed ineligible for state and federal reemployment assistance. So of the claims they've processed, you have more than 370,000 of them who are not going to get any benefits, despite the fact that these people believe they are entitled to benefits. There's clearly something that's not functioning right in the system.
We're talking about the problems in the state unemployment system with Ryan Barrick, who's an employment attorney in Clearwater, and this is WMNF in Tampa. You know, if I as a reporter wanted to check somebody's unemployment claim, I'd ask for their Social Security number. But as a citizen, I don't share my Social Security number that often, and I only share it with trustworthy people. And if you've got thousands of people sharing their Social Security number with reporters, that could cause a lot of trouble for a person's identification.
Yeah, I would urge reporters not to take, you know, claimants' Social Security numbers, and I would urge claimants not to share them with reporters. That's not an effective means to verify the data, and really the state doesn't need that information to verify the data. They can look at these people's claims based on their claimant ID, based upon their a whole bunch of other information to determine whether or not there are issues. And if the state has information that you've got a large group of people, and let's be clear, this is not everyone who's having a problem with the process. Rather, this is a sampling of people who are having problems with the process. And this came about because the governor, you know, 2 days before said, well, get me the list of names of people who say they're having problems. And so a number of reporters actually said to people, hey, if you're having problems, the governor says he wants your name so that they can investigate. And so that's what led to this. So it isn't as if this came out of the blue. This was in response to a request the governor made at an earlier press conference where he was trying to, you know, not acknowledge that there are as many problems with the system as there actually are.
I think the governor and the people in charge in Tallahassee are saying, look, this is an unprecedented number of people, and had we not had this unprecedented number of people, we wouldn't have the problems with the state unemployment system. What say you?
I think that there's a couple things. One is the system was working; it didn't work well before. And so you had a poorly designed system that didn't work well before, and that's a problem. And while I agree that we couldn't necessarily have predicted that we were going to have a pandemic, it was logical to assume, and we should have assumed, and the system should have been designed for there to be a large layoff in our society, right? We have a boom-bust system in Florida, a boom-bust economic system. Florida, probably more than any place else, has cycles and a cyclical economy, and things go up and things go down and things go up and things go down. And so you can't plan for only the good times, right? We know that there are going to be bad times. We know that there are going to be recessions and depressions. And the unemployment system needs to be designed to deal with the fact that there are going to be rainy days, and there are going to be large numbers of people who get laid off in our economy, and we are very vulnerable to those types of swings in the economy, and so we need to be prepared, and the system needs to be designed to deal with the fact that we're going to have recessions and we're going to have depressions. And it's foolish to not prepare for those in advance.
We've heard from many people here at this radio station, and people are calling newspapers and TV stations and other radio stations across the state outlining their problems. But one of the most frequent things that we hear is somebody will call us up and say, I don't know what my status is. I filled out the form back in March, and I haven't heard a word from the state. I haven't gotten any checks. I haven't got my federal check. So, and that now, you know, they're behind in their rent, they're behind in their mortgage payment, they're behind in their car payment, and they're frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the thing is that there was an opportunity for the legislature to come back into special session to address some of these issues. And unfortunately, the Republicans in the Florida legislature voted against coming back to special session to try and address the problems with the unemployment system and other problems. And, you know, people are right to be concerned and upset. I wish I could say to them, well, here's the solution to that problem. Unfortunately, there is not an easy solution to that problem other than the governor and the executive branch fixing the problems in the current system and the legislature making changes to prevent that on a going forward basis. I mean, right now, people under Florida law are only entitled to 12 weeks of benefits. Those 12 weeks are going to run out very soon. The legislature could and should come into session to address that problem, because if not, it's going to be an emergency very soon. We know that day is coming. We know that we're not going to be up to the level of employment that we want by then. And rather than sort of pretend that that day isn't going to happen, what we need to do is say, okay, we know this is coming. We should bring the legislature back into special session to extend the benefit period, because otherwise people are going to exhaust those benefits very soon.
We've heard also over and over again from people who say that the questions on the state unemployment application site don't fit their situation. They're gig workers, or they work for an out-of-state employer, they're a contract worker. And they're saying that and you talked about the design of the system as we started this interview, but they complained to us to say the state is not asking the right questions. So how does somebody who's a gig worker or working for an out-of-state employer, how do they get it fixed?
Well, I mean, they need to answer the questions that are being asked. And if they're a gig worker, they need to respond to what will happen in theory is they'll be denied their state benefits because they're not entitled to Florida unemployment benefits. But then a link should appear on the left-hand side of their screen where they can apply for the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, which is called the PUA. And those benefits are for those people who are independent contractors and gig workers. And then they need to fill out that application and go through that process. But they need to be denied benefits under the basic unemployment system. And let's be clear, the people have been talking about the problems associated with gig workers and the gig economy and how those people aren't entitled to unemployment benefits in the normal times, and how those people aren't necessarily entitled to workers' compensation benefits and all those other benefit systems that we have built up. And it's a problem, and we're seeing the consequences of that right now, right? We need as a society to think about the problems of tying many benefits to employment, like healthcare, like unemployment, like workers' compensation. When you tie all of those benefits to employment, and then employment goes away for a number of people, you have real problems, and you expose some problems on a larger societal basis that we need to be able to address and that we need to be dealing with. And, you know, that's something that we can deal with at the state level and something that we need to deal with at the federal level. But those are issues that are aren't going away.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was fired last year from WMNF, I wanted to continue my health insurance coverage, and MNF thankfully pays my health insurance. But when I was fired for that month and a half, I had to go into COBRA, and that cost me $1,000 out of pocket, which I did not have laying around in petty cash. So it is. I mean, there are a mountain of problems that go hand in hand with unemployment. I want to ask you about federal assistance. Was the intention of Congress to give everybody who's unemployed $600 additional here in the state of Florida? And what if the state of Florida has turned you down? Are you still eligible for that federal money?
Well, so there's an interesting sort of issue where to be eligible for if you're an employee, to be eligible for the additional federal money, you need to be eligible for the Florida money. So imagine for a moment you have somebody who earns more than $275 per week in Florida, they would not be entitled to the federal additional $600. But if you have someone who earns less than $275 per week, they could get the Florida benefit up to the maximum of $275 plus the additional $600. So if you have somebody who earns $274 in Florida wages, they could get the $1 of state money plus the $600 of federal money. But if they earn $275, they don't get anything.
Mm.
It is not a well-designed system. The $600 additional federal benefit was really passed quickly to try and get some additional benefits out to people. And so I commend Congress for the efforts to try and accomplish that. The difficulty is that we have this patchwork of state benefits that vary the amounts and the entitlements and the systems that are used to implement them vary pretty greatly from state to state. And so you have a state like Florida where the benefit amount is so low that people who really could use that additional $600 might not be able to get it because of the way they're being paid currently. And the governor and the Department of Economic Opportunity are not implementing the system in a way that functions to get benefits out to the most people. They're really implementing it in a restrictive manner. And if you look at the amount that was given out to other states that other states have been able to provide, Florida is really pretty low in the amount of benefits that it's provided to its residents, based on its population. We provided a total amount of Florida benefits, state reemployment assistance, as of today. The state has provided about $800 million in reemployment assistance through federal, through state reemployment assistance, $800 million, which is a lot of money, except when you look at how much has been provided by other states to their citizens. And there you realize that Florida lags behind other states in terms of what it's provided to its residents and how it's been able to address this massive job loss. And we really haven't done that good a job in terms of the amount of benefits that have been paid out as compared to our peer states.
Ryan, just one last question. You're representing people who are appealing getting turned down for state unemployment benefits. Just from your perspective as an employment attorney with a practice in Pinellas County in Clearwater, how big a problem do you think this is?
Well, I think we've got problems. We've got a series of problems. Right, so we've got a number of people who were denied benefits that they don't think they should have been denied. We have people who haven't even been processed yet, and then we've got this looming problem, really two looming problems. One of which is we've got a number of people who are going to file appeals, and we don't have the bandwidth in the system to hear all of those appeals, and we have people who are going to exhaust their benefits. So there are a series of problems that are coming down the pike, some of which are here, some of which are going to be here in the future, and we really need to be focused on addressing these. We were asking for weeks about, what they were doing to hire the appeals adjudicators, the people who decide these appeals, and the state wasn't even advertising to hire new people to resolve these appeals. And under Florida law, those people have to be lawyers. But unfortunately, they're not paying very well for those jobs, and so they're not getting a lot of people who are probably applying for them. At each step, the state is not doing things the way we would hope they would do to be able to help Floridians in the way they need right now.
What's your advice to somebody who's been turned down? And they've been lucky enough to get through the online process of applying, but they've been turned down. What's your best advice?
If they believe they're entitled to benefits, they should appeal. They have 20 days from the date they were determined not to be entitled to appeal, and they should appeal. And if they're having difficulty appealing through the online system, they can appeal via mail or via fax or via email, but they need to make sure they get an appeal in if they believe they're entitled to benefits.
And those 20 days are key. If they don't do it within 20 working days, then they've given up their right to appeal?
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't think it's working days. I think it's calendar days.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's a really short period of time, and so people need to make sure if they're denied that they get that appeal in. I don't want to say definitively if it's working or calendar, but my sense is it is a short period of time, and so people really do need to make sure they do everything to get their appeal in if they believe they're entitled to benefits and were improperly denied.
Ryan, what's the address of your website? What's your website address?
Sure. It's employeerights.com. And we have, in our blog, I've been sort of updating as, there's some information on there about appeals. There's some information in there about the unemployment process. And so people can go there and get some additional information as well. And it's employeerights.com.
Ryan Barrick, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming on WMNF.
No problem, Rob. Good luck, and everybody stay safe. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's Ryan Barrick, who practices employment law in Clearwater, and you heard what he said about filing for your appeal. If you've got something that you'd like to talk about, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. In just a few minutes, we'll open up the phone lines. The number of new COVID-19 cases, according to the Florida Department of Health, is 46,944. That's up 500 cases since yesterday at this time. There have been 2,052 deaths. That's 55 more deaths here in Florida in the last 24 hours, as reported by the state of Florida. Governor DeSantis says a rise in coronavirus cases does not necessarily mean the virus is spreading more, though. DeSantis spoke about the issue yesterday after test results released Saturday showed 1,000 new cases of the virus across the state happening in just one day. Here's what Governor DeSantis had to say.
They're desperate.
Okay, actually, we don't have we're going to have the governor in just a second. That was State Senator Audrey Gibson. Here's what she had to say about unemployment. Let's just listen back to State Senator Audrey Gibson about getting calls at her office from unemployed people.
They're desperate. People are crying when they get spoken to. They're sending capital help me's, worried about their home and their rent.
Now here is Governor DeSantis saying that it's not necessarily true that we have a significant spread of the COVID-19 virus across the state of Florida.
When you see numbers in any county kind of go out of what they've been trending, it's usually a data dump with backlog tests, a prison outbreak, nursing home, or sometimes we'll have new test sites that pop up and then you see a surge and then it dies down.
Governor DeSantis yesterday, but there is reason to be concerned about the numbers because a new whistleblower has apparently emerged. The architect and manager of Florida's Department of Health's COVID-19 dashboard announced this week that she's been removed from her job. Rebecca Jones says that her removal was not voluntary and that she was removed from her position because she was ordered to censor some health data and she refused to manually change data to drum up support for the plan to reopen. Florida's COVID-19 dashboard is widely used by reporters. It's created by a team of Florida Department of Health data scientists and public health officers led by Jones. The dashboard was praised by the White House for its accessibility, but over the last few weeks, the Florida COVID-19 health data dashboard crashed, went offline, data disappeared with no explanation, and sometimes access was hard to do. So there's a new whistleblower out there. She really hasn't done an interview with reporters yet. I know reporters in Tallahassee are trying to find her. So her name is Rebecca Jones, and she was removed from her job from overseeing the Florida Department of Health's COVID-19 dashboard. You probably have seen that dashboard. It's all over TV when they show you the numbers about COVID-19 deaths or cases across Florida. They always show Rebecca Jones' dashboard that she developed with the Florida Department of Health. Well, President Trump is drawing criticism from Democratic leaders after saying yesterday he's been taking the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine, a drug that he has touted as a treatment for the coronavirus.
Hydroxychloroquine.
When?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah,
a couple of weeks ago I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories. And if it's not good, I'll tell you right, I'm not going to get hurt by it.
After taking it for about a week and a half, the president says, all I can tell you is, so far, I seem to be okay. Later adding, I'm still here.
Can you explain, sir, though, what is the evidence that it has a preventative effect?
Here we go. You ready? Here's my evidence. I get a lot of positive calls about it.
Several prominent doctors worry the public may now infer the drug works or is safe. The Food and Drug Administration says there are potentially fatal side effects, and the drug has not been shown to actually fight the virus. The president says his own doctor did not recommend the drug, but he asked for it from the White House physician, who released a statement saying after numerous discussions with the president, they decided the potential benefit outweighed the relative risks.
That's Sagar Magani, the AP's top White House reporter. And Sagar also reported yesterday about congressional Democrats saying the State Department Inspector General, whom President Trump fired last week, was investigating possible impropriety in last year's massive arms sale to Saudi Arabia.
The president says he fired Steve Linick at Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's request.
I said, who appointed him? And they said, President Obama. I said, look, I'll terminate him.
Saying he knows nothing about Linick or any investigations. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says that's the problem.
The president has just fired a parade of independent watchdogs and given no legitimate explanation for their dismissals. This president is so different, running almost a rogue administration that defies truth, that defies facts, and now five inspector generals have been fired, all because they were doing their job, telling the truth, and trying to clean up the mess in Washington.
Democrats earlier suggested the firing might be linked to Linick investigating allegations that Pompeo may have improperly ordered staff to run personal errands for him. Pompeo tells the Washington Post he recommended Linick's removal because he was undermining the State Department's mission, and it was not retaliation for any investigation. Sagar Magani, Washington.
All right, lots of stories we could talk about, and if there's something that you want to comment on, about, that we've raised so far, you can call us up. The number to call, 813-239-9663. Duggan writes this, to Governor DeSantis, I suggest this. It's not the reporter's job to create a database of information about rejected unemployment claims. The state has the data, writes Doug. And Doug says, run a report and explain why even the 5,000 people listed as being rejected were rejected and make it a news story, writes Doug in Clearwater. Let's take some phone calls from listeners, and we're going to go to Dominic in Bradenton. Dominic, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Called a couple of times in during this unemployment issue, and I just listened to your segment with the employment attorney. And it seems like every time I listen to Sessions, every time I go online, every time I address this with state representatives, all of the discussions are about people that became unemployed because of the coronavirus, and nothing is discussed about people that were already unemployed, but due to the coronavirus, they are still unemployed.
And Doug, you called up and said this very thing yesterday, so you were able to get through yesterday. Do you have anything new beyond what you said yesterday?
Well, is there any discussion being held? The attorney talked about people are about to have their benefits run out in 12 weeks. Well, my benefits had already run out. Is there any link or any direction anyone can provide for people who are unemployed?
Well, I think this is where what you might think about, and that is that your state senator and your state representative are part of the legislature, and in 2013 they limited Florida's unemployment benefits to just 12 weeks. As you heard Ryan there, he did talk about it. Ryan said that the legislature should go back in session and lengthen the amount of unemployment that's available for people. So I think the first step, if you think that that's what you need, that you'd need longer unemployment benefits, you should call your state senator and call the member of the House who represents you and say, you guys and gals ought to go back into session. And since this looks like a long-term recession or maybe a depression, you got to give the people more than just 12 weeks of unemployment benefits. That's what I would do. I think it's an important topic. I'm not trying to downplay it, but I think that there is at least one big avenue, and that is have a special session of the legislature. Let's go to Gino in Tampa. Gino, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yesterday, I heard your piece on the Miami riots. At that time, I was in and out of Miami. I was around 17, having a girlfriend down there. But I heard a caller mention yesterday that during the riots, the government, the way they quelled it was to stop food stamps. The riot only lasted 3 days. So stopping food stamps didn't stop the riots. Plus, I think his implication was that by not giving black people food, that would stop the riots.
Yeah, I went to bed last night thinking I should have just blown that guy off because right. He clearly was making a racist point, and I apologize for not blowing him off yesterday.
Right. I think he may not realize that also, that there are more white people on food stamps than black people.
Yeah, I think that's true, and you're right about it was a horrible, tough 3 days, and then it pretty much evaporated. So
yeah, one of the thing about that is that I think that when they have situations like that, that they should never have an all white jury when it comes to a black man. They've been doing that since America inception, and it always basically ends up bad for us. Thank you.
All right, Gino, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling up. That's good to hear from you. Steve writes this, first of all, DeSantis, this is Steve's words, is full of crap. You cannot submit an application without a valid Social Security number. It's not possible to move forward without providing this. I applied March 22nd. It took 8 weeks to get denied. And then I got a letter saying that they have my application after being declared ineligible and they need more information, but does not state what info they need. And they point you to the website for instructions, but it is confusing and already says ineligible and no instructions on how to get any missing info. I reapplied in April on the DEO site, and that is still pending. No info, no instructions. It is a total setup to fail, writes Steve. Steve, thank you for that. Bubba writes this, DeSantis is following Trump's lead. Time to dump both of them, writes Bubba. And then Anonymous in 941 writes, it seems very long. If you could boil it down for us, that would be good. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I tend not to believe Donald Trump taking the hydroxy drug, basically because he's had 18,000. He said 18,000 lies. He's a confirmed liar. So my first tendency is not to believe him. Now, if he did take this, and he is taking this, that probably would be, in my opinion, the bravest thing he's ever done in his life, probably. And wouldn't it be ironic if he would die from this, and after touting it so much? I mean, it just would be ironic as hell, wouldn't it, Rob?
It would be ironic. I mean, I think the danger, though, is for people who, for whom hydroxychloroquine is contraindicated, if they start taking it, and it causes the heart problems or the liver problems that are some of the side effects, and they do it because the president says he's taking it. I think that's the worst outcome. You may be right. The president may be snowing us, but I think what's true though is that people are watching Fox News and they're watching the president say, "I'm taking hydroxychloroquine," and Fox News, for the most part, is not skeptical. There was the one guy last night who was skeptical.
Yeah.
But the danger is that for people who suffer the side effects, you know, they could suffer terrible side effects taking it on the advice of the president. And that is, it is just such a dangerous thing for the guy who's got the biggest megaphone in the country to say.
As usual, he's just irresponsible, and who knows what goes on in that.
All right, Danny. Danny, thanks a lot.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said thanks a lot. I was trying to shuffle you aside. Unless you had more material. Do you have more material?
I just had to say one more thing.
Right.
For him to say that Obama is grossly incompetent, was the most incompetent president ever, that's just a great big projection, as usual. You know, isn't it? How embarrassing it must be. Now, everybody knows that this man is so jealous of one person and so insecure. I mean, I wonder if Ivanka, who seems to be the most level-headed of all the grifters there, I wonder if she must think at night, saying, "Wow, my father is so that's just so bad. He's so insecure. What's wrong with him?" Or she just like everybody else. Maybe she's like, "My father's a great father," and that's the way people people should help you. Look at her tasting men. Look at her.
All right, Danny. I think we're getting a little too deep in the personal. Thanks, Danny.
That's my opinion. I know it.
Okay, Danny. I know it's your opinion. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Kevin writes this. Whether it's Trump or DeSantis, it's always someone else's fault. Rick Scott is not to blame. DeSantis is not to blame for the horrible unemployment system. The people who need help the most are often the ones who get blamed the most, writes Kevin. And let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Connie in Tampa. Connie, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, good morning. I think I would like to echo what President Obama says, that the people in charge simply don't know anything, probably simply don't care. Now, I did hear the governor state that the filing for evictions and foreclosures will resume on June 2nd. Have you heard anything from the local leadership in terms of the enforcement? I mean, is the
Connie, that's a great question. I talked to Sheriff Cronister a month ago, and he said he was not going to enforce evictions for about a month. But I haven't called him back, and I frankly haven't seen a press release from him. So some of the local sheriffs have said they, at the start of this crisis, they were going to stop evictions. But I don't know what the current status is, and I'll get on it. I promise.
Thank you,
Connie. All right, great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. I got to say that that's a good thing that the governor has done. I think so many people are on edge right now, and for the governor to extend that for a few more days is a good thing. Let's take some more calls from Jeanette in Gulfport. Jeanette, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to say, why would Trump take hydrochloroquine if it's for malaria? Does he have malaria?
He doesn't have malaria, but there are, in fairness, there are some studies that are underway both at Tampa General Hospital and around the country for health workers who are taking it as a prophylactic, so that if they come down with COVID-19, instead of having a run of the disease that might take 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it shortens it by 3 days. And that's what the theory is, and some people believe that. So there are some studies that say that there is some slight value to taking it. But, you know, I think the president is taking it because he thinks it's going to prevent the virus from infecting him. And I don't think that there are studies that show that.
Money off of people who buy hydrochloroquine because
that's
some kind of stock market.
That is a great question. We don't know, you know, how much he has invested in the company that makes the drug. We don't know how much his cabinet has invested. Those are great questions. Yeah.
I mean, we know there's an underlying reason why he wants everybody to use this drug. And I mean, there's everybody's supposedly trying to take that, and I don't even know where it is. We haven't heard about it.
Well, I don't think anybody should take any of this stuff unless their doctor says it's and been approved by the FDA.
COVID.
Yeah.
No, I mean when they get COVID.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other thing is that they were saying that if you take the hydrochloroquine, the people with malaria will not have enough of the drug.
Well, people have called into this program saying that they need it for their specific disease. And at least at the beginning of this, there were shortages of these drugs as people were hoarding these drugs and pharmacists weren't able to hand them out. So, yeah, that's another problem. All right. Jeanette, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Great to hear from you. And 813 writes this snarky comment. 813 says, based on his girth, the president should triple the dose. Anonymous. James writes this, even though he said it in a news broadcast, I do not believe Donald Trump is taking hydroxychloroquine. I guess the proof will be when he drops dead, writes James in St. Pete. Let's go back to the phones and hear from some more of our listeners on all these big topics of the day. Let's go to Diane in Tampa. Diane, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm great. Hi. I have a question about unemployment.
Okay, and I'm not sure, I'm certainly no expert, but I can maybe begin to help you.
Right, there was a question about the $600 payment from the federal government, and then the state obviously pays as well, but it appears that the state of Florida isn't giving the full $600. They're kind of you know, averaging it out. Is that something that you can address off the air?
I do not know. I know that very few people get the full $275 from the state of Florida. I don't think the state has the power to average out the $600. I don't think that is right.
Right. And if you're not, do the $600, I'm not getting it.
If you're not getting the full $600, what I would do is I would call your member of Congress.
Okay.
And say, look, you promised $600 for everybody, and I'm only getting the state is shaving off some of that $600.
Yeah, it seems like it is.
Yeah, the state. I don't think the state has the power to shave that off, and your member of Congress will have the answer to that.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Very much.
Thank you, Diane. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. Hi, Liz. You're on. What's up?
Good morning, Rob. I called to talk about unemployment, and I may have a little bit of a clue to the last listener's question. I enjoyed Brian Barrick's interview. I had learned a lot of these things yesterday by bouncing around on the system. So this is what I'm learning so far. I am an independent contractor, as you know, so I'm a gig. So I'm not eligible for the Florida benefit, but I am eligible for the $600 benefit, supposedly. So I have had a claim in since March 24th. And I heard DeSantis start blaming the people for filling out the forms wrong, saying that's why you're not, it's incorrect, they're not filling them out fully. Well, when you have a system that kicks you out, and then the next time you go in, things have dropped off, you know.
They've lost your data in the interim.
Exactly.
How many hours did you spend trying to fill out the form?
Between me and my boyfriend, I have probably put a minimum of 40 hours in the last 2 months.
Filling out one unemployment application.
Two. One from helping my boyfriend and me.
40 hours.
And we have nothing. We have zero. This is the status right now. He was denied. Then his employer got PPP and he went back to work a couple weeks ago. But he wants his unemployment from March until the end of April. He's eligible for that. So they lost his data. So then when I reapplied, it doesn't allow you to say, it says, when have you the last time you worked? You say March, it files your effective date from that day that you're filling out that new.
Well, that's
claim.
Not fair because he's unemployed far before that.
Exactly. Yeah. So then I went back in there's a chance that you can go in and say, I want to change this date. Well, he got denied. He got a hearing. And they said, oh, no, just reapply. So he reapplied, but it's reapplied for now going forward when he's back to work. So I've tried all different kinds of things to try to move the date. There's no way to move the date. There's no way to get hold of live people. You call, they say, yeah, we can answer some general questions, but we can't help you with your claim. There's no one to help you with your claim. And then for me, I was just hanging there in limbo for the longest time. So I decided just to do a whole new filing because I'm still not working. I'm a massage therapist. I'm a gig worker. He's a W-2 employee. So I went on and I redid a whole new thing, and I couldn't, like, I remember Brian Bennett saying that PUA thing, apply for PUA will pop up. Well, it doesn't until, like he said, you're denied for Florida, and then the PUA pops up. And I'm looking right now at it, and I have been awarded quickly $125 a week out of the $600. And I can log back in on June 1st to claim my first week, but I'm going under adjudication right now, it says, because this is what they do, and you don't. I reported my income, and I should get the $600, but they're saying until you prove your income, by when they tell you to send in your tax return, to prove your income, will they even possibly think about changing it to the $600? Right now, I'm only going to get $125 for 36 weeks, and that is $4,875.
So Liz, what happens to your bills and your boyfriend's bills in the interim where they're stiffing you at the state level? What happens to your bills?
Well, we have been using all of our savings. We did get stimulus. We got both of our stimulus checks on April 30th. And we're limping along here.
Well, so
trying to make something happen.
There may not be much help here, but what about calling your member of Congress or your state senator or state representative?
Yes, I've already called all of them.
And has that been any help?
Once at the beginning of the pandemic, I mean, the first day I was out of work was a Thursday. I called my representatives on Friday telling them, listen, I'm the first to go. You better start paying attention to this because this is going to be a windfall here. I'm only one of many. I'm just the first that is going down.
And has it helped that you've made those calls? No. They've offered no help.
None.
I mean, I don't know why they would shave down the federal money. That's a mystery to me.
Oh, they shaved it down to 125, and I read in the rules that until, you know, because it's under adjudication, they're going to come back, hopefully, they're going to come back soon and say, we need your tax returns, Liz, to prove that you made the money that you said you did on your application. Otherwise, we're just going to give you the minimum. Which the minimum of the federal is $125 a week.
That's awful. That's awful.
Yeah.
All right, so Liz.
Tell them just to go in and make a new, just reapply. Just reapply. Even though both of them will show up in your dashboard, both cases that you have, but go and reapply because that will trigger the PUA, and then you can at least get somewhere. I've gotten more in the last 24 hours than I have in 2 months.
Yeah, I'm still struck by 40 hours for your two applications, too. Liz, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
That's awful. Stuart writes this, I believe Trump is lying about taking hydroxychloroquine. He lies about everything else. Why not this? Then he can say, look, no side effects, because he's really not taking it, writes Stuart. And then Robert says, Trump is lying again still. He's not taking hydroxychloroquine. He's just saying it to discredit the whistleblower whom he demoted. I'd like to see him take it verified by an independent physician. He doesn't have the guts to do something that may kill him. That's Rob in Holiday writing that. And let's go back to the phones. You're listening to 88.5 FM. Curtis is in Tampa. Hi, Curtis. You're on M&F. What's up?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's up?
Awesome. I got my Bluetooth. First, I'm going to give you kudos. You're doing an awesome job.
Well, thank you.
I've never seen someone who is not biased and someone who actually relays the facts and does their homework. This is awesome. You should have been a politician.
I won't say it, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to give you kudos. Hey, keep on, no matter what, let the truth be out there, man.
All right. Thanks, Curtis. I appreciate it. That's very nice of you to say, to wait online and say that. Thank you for saying that. Let's go to Ernie in Port Richey. Hi, Ernie. You're on M&F. What's up?
Hi, Rob. I'm a little bit confused about this whole chloroquine business because chloroquine is a prophylactic. That's what it is, the prophylactic for malaria. You know, when I was in Vietnam, I think what we took later on may have been something the Army developed, but it was still in the same family. I never saw a doctor one time, and I don't know anybody that did.
Well, Ernie, do you know the phrase GI guinea pigs? Do you know the phrase? It goes back to atomic veterans. It goes back to Agent Orange veterans. It goes back to the people that got vaccinations during the first Gulf War. Do you know that term?
And I know what expendable is.
Yeah, so they use the GIs as guinea pigs, and there's a long history of the U.S. military doing that.
If we don't
want to use the American people as guinea pigs.
If you go to some place where there is, and I'm sick and tired of Trump, by the way. If you go to some place where there's malaria, you're crazy if you don't take an anti-malarial.
Well, yeah, you know, when I went to Central America a few years ago, I took an anti-malarial drug. But the question is, should everybody be taking it? President Trump is indicating it's safe for everybody. Not everybody should be taking it, and there are side effects. And there's reasons to take it. Anyway, we're out of time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment about this program on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening. This is WMNF Tampa.